Psalm 103 that he had read. It just, I mean, I can probably just sit down, and if you read that song again and think about Rahab, you could encompass her whole entire life in that song, and what God did through her. So I want, if we can keep that in mind as we're going through this morning, I'm going to give you a little bit too. But I love the story of Rahab. I didn't know too much about her, except for, you know, the story of the Battle of Jericho and her part in that, before I began to study this. But as I dug deeper into her life, I realized that, you know what, I'm just like her. I may not be a prostitute, but my sins are just as great. But the greatness of my sin does not preclude me from God's great mercy if I am truly repentant. And depending on my sin, sometimes even though we have repented, we often have to bear the reproach of our previous sins. That could be why each time Rahab is mentioned in the Old Testament, the word harlot is associated with her. But in Matthew's account of her lineage, of the lineage of Jesus, he doesn't call her that. He simply says, she is Rahab, the mother of Boaz. For Christ has come and washed away all her sins, and God sees them no more. She is simply a believer. A question for us to consider while we study Rahab is, do I still think of myself as the new fill in the blank? Or do I believe what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. The account of Israel's soldiers walking around Jericho until the walls came tumbling down is one of the most famous in the Bible. And some of you might be singing that little song in your head right now. I can see my daughters twirling in the living room, falling down, as the grandmother was singing that song for them. The story has two components to it. The first is it shows us that God punishes sin. Jericho and everything and everyone in it were devoted to destruction and would not be able to live with God's chosen people, so they had to be destroyed. Secondly, it's an amazing, beautiful story, example of the power of the saving faith. And in it is within, it is within this amazing story that we find the prostitute Rahab, who we'll be studying today. Moses had died, and God had appointed Joshua as leader of the people of Israel. God tells Joshua that it's time for him to lead the people across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. The Lord tells Joshua that he will be victorious, and no one will ever be able to stand against him as long as he lives. Joshua 1:5 says, "For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Joshua then goes on to command the officers of Israel to go through the camp and to tell their people to get their provisions ready, for they will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. He secretly sends out two spies and tells them to scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. This would have been a difficult task, as the banks of the Jericho River were overflowing during this time of the year. So this was a somewhat dangerous reconnaissance mission that he had asked the spies to take on. First, they had to cross the Jordan without drowning, and secondly, they had to get inside the city gate and walls of Jericho without being seen. For if they had been seen, they would have been killed. Scripture tells us that they do get into Jericho, and they find a place, a harlot's house. We can safely say God wanted them there because there was a woman there who had a ready heart to receive the truth. And so they were led to this house, not only because it was apparently an available place, not only because there was a ready heart there, but because the house was located with its backside on the city wall, and there was a way of escape should they be found out. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Rahab, other than she was a prostitute, lived outside her parents' home on the city wall, dried flax on her roof, and had a family who lived in the city as well. As a prostitute, she would have had an inn where travelers could spend the night. Since she had dried flax on her roof, we can assume that she had made linen clothing and was able to dye the linen, since she had a scarlet rope in her possession. She is a self-supporting young woman, and it appears she has one character in the virtuous woman that was deficient in the others. It's the story of Rahab that makes the story of the spies sneaking into Jericho most remarkable. For the prostitute Rahab, the person principally concerned in it, is twice celebrated in the New Testament as a great believer in Hebrews 11:31, and as one whose faith itself proved itself by good works in James 2:25. She is one of the four women of the Old Testament mentioned in the lineage of Christ in Matthew 1:1. So how is it that a woman who is described as a prostitute in the Old Testament would be listed in the lineage of Christ, included in the Hall of Fame chapter in the book of Hebrews among all the superstars of the faith of the Old Testament, and mentioned as an example of faith in action in the book of James? Does the greatness of our sin preclude us from God's mercy if we truly repent? Even though we have repented, we often have to bear it. Oh, whoops, I already said that. Sorry. Never mind. Okay, we're going to go on. We see that Rahab was a woman who had a saving faith, a singular faith, a stable faith, a self-denying faith, a sympathizing faith, and a sanctifying faith. Let's look at her saving faith. She was delivered from the destruction of Jericho purely and only through faith. As a prostitute, she would have been amongst the least of her society. Her sins were great, yet she had faith and was delivered. Rahab believed the stories she had undoubtedly heard from the many travelers who frequented her inn. She had heard of the wonders and great successes that God had given to Israel. She knew and believed when the spies came to her inn that Jericho was going to fall. She did not know how or when, but she believed that God was going to give her city over to the Israelites. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. We have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. These statements of Rahab's not only show her faith, but also help to bolster the confidence of the spies when they return to the camp and report back, the Lord has given us the whole land, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. The city of Jericho was about to be attacked. Within its walls were people of all classes and characters, and they all knew that if their city was attacked, they would be put to death. Yet Rahab had repented of her sin, no one had repented of their sin or asked for mercy except for Rahab. She was a solitary among the multitude. Have you ever had to demonstrate a singular faith? Have you ever been the only one who was the champion of righteous cause? It's easy to believe what everybody else believes, but difficult to believe alone. Charles Spurgeon says that Rahab would remain the chief of sinners to the most daring of saints. Her stable faith. Her faith stood firm in the midst of trouble. One commentator suggests the people of the city of Jericho did not seem to be worried about the Israelites marching around their walls. They were just marching and blowing a ram's horn for 6 days. But Rahab's faith did not waver. She gathered her family to her home, left the scarlet cord out the window, and did not tell anyone else about what she knew was going to happen. On the seventh day, when the people gave a great shout, the walls came tumbling down, but Rahab's house stood alone upon the wall, a solitary fragment amid a universal wreck. God grew a great faith in Rahab's heart. Her self-denying faith. She dared to risk her life for the sake of the spies. She knew that if they were found in her house, both she and the spies would be put to death. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come to her tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab. Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, they were here earlier, but I didn't know that where they came from. They left the town at dusk, and the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and had hidden them yet under the bundles of flax she had laid out. Rahab kept calm demeanor as she lied to the king's pursuers when they came knocking on her door. She had to be careful so as not to alarm the king's men, or they would surely want to search her house. This turned out to be the justifying work, good work, which is what she is mentioned for in James 2:25. Matthew Henry makes the statement regarding Rahab hiding the spies and lying about it. This is not easy to justify, and yet it must be justified, or else it could not be considered good work so as to justify her faith. It is plain that she betrayed her country by hiding the spies. but that which justifies her is that she knew the Lord had given them the land, knew by the incontestable miracles God had done for them, and her obligations to God were higher than her obligations to anyone else. If she knew God had given them this land, it would have been a sin to hinder any plans they had of possessing it. She had a sympathizing faith. Rahab did not only believe for herself, but for her family. She makes a request of the spies. Her request is to show a light kindness to her and her family when they come to conquer the city. She desired mercy for herself and for her family. She wanted them to be saved from the coming destruction. Do you have a family mark? Do you have family members who are not believers? Do you desire to see them saved as Rahab desired to see her family saved? Charles Spurgeon says, "It's impossible to know the value of salvation without desiring to see others brought in. Unless we desire others to taste the benefits we have enjoyed, we are either inhumane monsters or outrageous hypocrites." So the spies agree and offer their lives as a guarantee that as long as she does not betray them, they will be kind to her when the Lord gives them the land. They are careful to make sure that Rahab understands their provisions, that she tells no one of the coming destruction, keeps the scarlet robe hanging out of her window, and has all of her family in her home, because if anyone ventures out, they will not be responsible for their death. Making a promise such as they did could turn deadly if everyone did not completely understand the agreement. The consequences of misunderstanding would be grave. Rahab agrees and lowers them down through a window in the wall with a scarlet robe and tells them to hide in the country, the hill country, for 3 days. Before the men leave, they tell her to keep the robe hanging out the window. And this scarlet robe, so she leaves the scarlet robe hanging outside the window, so that when they return, they'll be able to easily find her. A few commentators equate this to the blood of Christ that saves us, or like the blood that the Israelites painted on their doorposts when the angel of death moved through Egypt. Going on in Joshua, chapters 3 through 6, tell us the story of the Israelites preparing themselves to go into the promised land, and of the 6 days that they walked around the walls in the final shadow on the seventh day that brought the walls tumbling down. Verse 6:22 records Joshua telling the two spies to keep their promise to the prostitute and rescue her and all of her family. 6:23 tells us that the men brought out Rahab and all of her relatives who were with her, and they moved her whole family to a place near the camp. They brought them out and didn't let them enter into the camp of Israel, but kept them outside. This was a temporary exclusion. Because they were Gentiles, they needed to be properly cleansed of any defilement and made ready for entry into the society of God's people. Lastly, Rahab had a sanctifying faith. Joshua 6:23 is the last time Scripture speaks of Rahab in the Old Testament. Did she continue to be a harlot after she had faith? No. But when she is mentioned in Scripture, her name is associated with the word harlot or prostitute. Even though we have repented, we often have to bear the reproach of our previous sins. But the greatness of our sin does not preclude us, nor any sins, from the mercy of God. And we see evidence of God's great mercy to Rahab in the lineage of Christ. Charles Spurgeon states, "I do not believe she was a harlot at the time the men went to her house. Some do, some don't. Some commentators do, some commentators don't. Though the name still stuck to her, as such ill names will. But I am sure she was not afterward, for Salmon, the prince of Judah, married her, and her name is put down among the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Matthew 1 that we learn she went on to marry Salmon, the prince of Judah. Some believe he might have even been one of the spies. And then she went on to become the mother of Boaz. The prostitute is now a princess. We can also gain insight into what kind of woman and mother she had become based on the actions of her son Boaz towards Ruth and Naomi. Is it any coincidence that Boaz was sympathetic to Ruth the Moabitess, since his own mother had been a foreigner in the house of Israel? And if we follow the lineage of Matthew 1, we can see that Rahab was King David's great-great-grandmother. Rahab's belief of the things she had heard that God had done for the people of Israel led her to have a saving, singular, and stable faith. That faith led her to a self-denying faith as she hid the spies and made way for Israel to conquer Jericho. Rahab had a sympathizing faith because she wanted to see her family saved from the coming destruction. She had a sanctifying faith, a faith that says, Lord, you've forgiven my sins. I will go and sin no more. You cannot have this kind of faith and yet live in sin. To believe is to be holy. The simple truth of the story of Rahab the harlot is the story of every person who comes to Jesus. We are sinners saved not because we have anything ourselves to offer, but because we have believed. Rahab believed in her heart, was justified by her faith and action, and repented of her sin. She went from a harlot to a heroine. That's right. Father, I thank you this morning for this story. I thank you that, Lord, it shows us the two things, that you hate sin and that you will punish sin. But yet, Lord, it shows us your great mercy. And Father, I thank you for that today. I thank you for the blood of Christ that covers all of us who believe, Lord, and that you have called us to be new creatures in Christ, that the old has passed away and yet the new has begun. Lord, I pray for any of us who may be holding on to the old labels that might have been given to us at some point, whether they be known or just in our heads. And Father, you would slowly work in our hearts to erase that, to bring about an understanding in us that we are princesses in your kingdom, that you have washed away all sin, we are as white as snow, and that we can be a new creature, a new creation. Help us to live like that, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.